Praise the Lord, praise the Lord for the good singing. We not got Lois tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, what, she got her over there?
Yeah.
She's trying to hide. Amen. Tell her I said hey. Oh, Lord. Matthew 26, please. Matthew 26. And this is an old message. It's penned in the outlines in an old Bible of mine that's coming apart. But the Lord brought this to my heart and my mind this afternoon, just trying to meditate on what God would have for us this hour. And thinking about everything that's going on, I think this message is exactly what we stand in need of. Matthew 26, look down at verse 36. My throat shut up for some reason. I guess my wife's prayers is answered. Matthew 26, verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Now, folks, I want you to notice something. There's a picture in that verse that Christ always goes the extra mile. He said, sit ye here while I go yonder, while I go pray yonder. We'll never outdo God. That's a simple thing, but it's right. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He took the elite with him, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now, why did he single out Peter? Well, Peter was always saying he wasn't going to never leave him. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray us. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We love you because you first loved us, and Lord, you gave yourself for us. And I thank you, dear God, for what you've done for us already today. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for that. And I ask you tonight, dear God, that you would illuminate my mind and my heart and fill me with the power of God. And Lord, touch us tonight that we'd be obedient to this Holy Spirit and the Word. And I ask you, dear God, to save that may be here unsaved. And Lord, I pray your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Preaching this message, I don't know how many times I've used this text. Some of you may have it marked in your Bible. I'd rather you didn't, but because I just try to follow the Spirit of God. The sorrowful Christ and the sleeping church. There's a picture here. As a matter of fact, there's a setting of the account, and there's also some similarities to this account. There's things that we can compare in this time that we just read about, what's going on in the Garden of Gethsemane, how Christ is praying, and the flesh, he still has the flesh. But folks, you say what you want to. He knew what he was sent to do, and I don't believe he ever didn't want to do it.
Right.
But in our own flesh, we don't want to hurt. He was all God and all man, but never will you convince me that this text is him trying to get off the cross. I believe the burden got so heavy on him, he was praying, Lord, don't let me die in Gethsemane. Let me get to the cross. Let me make it to the cross. I come to do this purpose. He realized he was God incarnate. He loved us.
Right.
And he wasn't trying to escape it. But yet, he wanted to make it to the cross. Now, the setting of this account, there's five things here. In this time of Gethsemane, we know that it was a dark and a scary time. Of course, with darkness comes evil. We mentioned John chapter 3 this morning, verse 19, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's why the world hates Christ, because he shines light on their darkness. That's why the world hates us Christians, because we should shine as lights in the world. That's why they can't stand us, because light reveals things. Amen. You can keep it dark and keep it hid. And you can keep it dark and it not look as bad. But you cut the light on. And the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine unto them. They can get saved. But yet it was at this time, it was dark and a scary time. Enemies were closing in. Enemies are coming. Judas had done betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver and told him where he was at. And while Christ is praying, and while that great burden is on him, they're planning and they're plotting and they're on the way. You got to understand, whatever God's doing, Satan is trying to undo it. Now I repeat to you tonight, Satan wasn't trying, he wasn't trying to kill Jesus before he got to the cross. He didn't want him getting to the cross. He's trying to stall that, stop that. He knew he didn't have a party when Christ was on the cross. He wasn't doing it. He didn't come out with the band when Jesus died. Amen. And if you're unsaved, I don't care what the rock and rollers tell you, there's no parties in hell. Nobody's jamming it out in hell. Nobody's having, they're all weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what's going on in hell. Ain't no party in hell. There ain't nobody took over in hell. They're all in outer darkness. They're all in a fire that's unquenchable. Well, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's where they are. In total darkness. Without the presence of God at all. The only reason there's any light here at all is because the church is still here. And because the church is still here, the Holy Ghost is still here. And when the Spirit of God leaves, it'll be darkness. Folks, we understand there's a death. I know it's a departing of the soul and spirit from the body, but it's also eternal death. It's when our soul and spirit depart from God forever. I don't know why I got off on that, but that's the truth. That's the truth. Ain't nobody having a party in hell. They ain't passing out the booze in hell. Matter of fact, they're doing what the rich man did, begging for one drop of water to cool their tongue, for they're tormented in the flame. That's what's going on in hell. That's what's happening in hell. Hey, folks, there's weeping and wailing. They're crying out, begging for one drop of water. But they're crying out over there in paradise. There ain't nobody in paradise no more. What do you mean? When Christ died, he led captivity captive. He moved paradise to heaven. When he offered the blood, praise God, he checked them out of there. That's right. Thank God for paradise. But wait, paradise got moved. Amen. They moved on up. Amen. To the heaven side. To a deluxe mansion in the sky high, high. It was a scary time. It was a dark time. Enemies are closing in. Judgment's around the corner. What do you mean judgment? The judgment of our sin was around the corner. Folks, you understand, when Christ on the cross, that was a day of judgment. When Christ died on the cross, the judgment of our sin took place. Christ, our sins was judged in the body of Jesus Christ on the cross. Judgment came. Your sins have been judged. Why would you want to be judged for them when Christ already went through that for you? Why in the world would you want to go through that? Jesus already suffered for you. Know why you want to go to hell? Christ already suffered your hell.
Right. Yeah.
He already faced that torment in his body
right.
on the tree. So judgment was around the corner. Christ was about to be judged for our sin. Amen. What's Jesus doing? He's interceding. He's on his knees and he's praying. And then he walks upon the disciples and what they're doing. They're asleep. He's looking for somebody to hang in there with him. Not to do his job, but to be the Christian. Even in the dark days, even in the sad days, even in the rough days, that they need to be. And he found them asleep. Now that's the setting of the account. But now look at the similarities. Think of our day. Think of our day right now, right here. The similarities. What do you mean? We're in dark days. We are in dark days. I mean, the event that happened, preachers say, well, we shouldn't bring that up today, and some say we should. I'm just going to let the Holy Ghost do it. That was a sad thing yesterday. I don't care if you're R or D. If it had been an attempt on Biden's life, it wasn't right. Amen. Man don't have the authority for that. They crossed over their authority. That's wrong. That's wicked. We in dark days. We in dark days. But folks, the dark days is here. Perilous times is here. Our enemies are closing in. It's getting more wicked. The Bible said, hey, the wickedness of man would wax worse. And it is. Perilous times isn't coming. They're here. And get this. Judgment is just around the corner. Folks, nobody gets by with sin.
Right, right, right.
You die, hey, the Lord comes back, you die in your sin, hey, you're going to pay for that. I'm glad Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
All to him I owe. Sin left the crimson stain, his blood washed me white as snow. Folks, I'll never stand before the Lord Jesus for one sin.
Amen.
Why? Christ stood for my sin. He died in my place. When I got born again, his blood washed me white as snow. You said, preacher, I don't believe that. Folks, then what did he do when he died for us? See, you say he took care of our sin. He took care of our sin, what we were. Sin is who you are. Sins is what you do. And he said, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. But if I don't as a child of God, he said he'd chasten me. In other words, he'll make me want to confess them. That's right. He gets you long enough. He's going to whip it on you long enough. Hey, remember one time I did something and I really deserved a big whooping. And I was getting it. And I was determined I wasn't crying this time. Then he said, you can cry or I ain't stopping. That was the end of that. Our enemies are closing in. Judgment's around the corner. There's a payday someday. And I know, certain biblical prophecies of when the church is out of here, the Spirit of God's out of here, and now him that now let be taken out of the way, and that wicked one shall be revealed. When the Spirit of God is gone, there is no restraint anymore. Do you imagine, can you see how wicked the world is now with the Spirit of God and the church here? And I say the church, I mean the believers. Can you see can you imagine when the church and the Holy Ghost is gone and there is no restraint at all on Satan?
Right.
You think, why do you want to live through that?
You're right.
Oh, yeah, there'll be 3.5 years of false peace, and then that last 3.5 years, hey, he'll show himself. The abomination of desolation. Hey, the Antichrist will sit down on the throne of David, and he'll rule with a rod of iron. And you won't be able to buy, sell, do anything unless you get that mark.
Right.
And you'll be sent strong delusion. You'll believe the lie of the Antichrist and seal your fate forever.
Right.
Then you'd have to face the Lord at the white throne judgment. When the books will be open. I believe the book of life will be open. I believe the Bible will be open. And I believe there's a book of remembrance that'll be open. I mean, if you study that, you'll find those books. Book of remembrance, it'll be brought back to your memory. Every opportunity you had, you rejected. Every time you took his name in vain and cussed him and rejected him, it'll be there. And those books will be open, and that Bible, the Word of God, is the final authority, and you won't match it. And the Lord is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you, you work of iniquity. And the angels will bind you hand and foot and cast you in the lake of fire. And that is the second death.
Right. Right.
There's no coming back from that.
Right.
Proverbs 29 verse 1. He that be an often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's a powerful verse. Man, that's a powerful verse. I ain't thought about that verse in a while. That's a powerful verse. He that been often reproved, often dealt with, often showed his error, often convicted. He that been often reproved, hardeneth his neck, you rebel against it. Say no to the calling of the Spirit of God. Turn it away. He that been often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In other words, when that day comes, there's no way out. Hey, the day is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Yeah, I'd get saved now. I'd get saved right now. I'd get saved today. Christian church, we ought to be warning people. Judgment's coming. Like the man, he run up on a bridge that was out, and it was several hundred feet down to the river, and he turned around and went a mile or two up a road, and he was out flagging people down, saying, the bridge is out, don't go any farther. Some took the warning and turned and went the other way, picture of repentance, and they believed that word. And some laughed at him and mocked him and went and went down to their grave and went to hell. Hey, went out to eternity rather. Hey, that's what we ought to be doing, church. We ought to be beckoning people. Hey, hell is real, and this thing's about to wind up. Hey, trust Christ. Christ paid your sin debt. He loves you. He died for you. Don't you want to get saved?
Amen.
Don't you want to know the Lord? Don't you want to trust Christ as your Savior? No, here's what Independent Baptist doing. We're fussing about a song. And we're fussing about things that don't matter. Trying to act like we super spiritual. All the while, people are dying and going to hell every moment. Every second of the day, they're dying in their sin, and they're going to hell. And we're trying to win debates. I ain't up for an election for anything. And them super-duper preachers, they don't pay my salary. They didn't call me to preach. They don't have anything to do with Bible Baptist Church. I could care less what they think. I'm Independent Baptist. I don't answer to them.
Amen.
I answer this book. And us as a church, we follow this book with the best of our ability. Hey, you know what? We've got it wrong a time or two. You know what we did? We backed up and got it right.
Amen.
There's no associational missionary coming here and telling us what to do. There's no Independent Baptist Pope's going to tell me what to do. Amen. It's people dying and going to hell is what's happening. And I don't care if they like me or not. Matter of fact, the only one I care that likes me is my wife. She always loves me, but sometimes she don't like me. Amen. I come to find out, if I got her on my arm, I can fight hell with a water pistol. Amen. But I'm telling you, folks, we in a day where, hey, we need to be sounding out the warning.
Right.
Judgment's coming.
Amen.
Judgment's coming. Listen to me. Judgment's coming. But what is the church doing? Christ is busy seeking someone to follow him about his business, but the church as a whole is doing what? They're asleep. Isaiah said it like this, and here's where our heart ought to be. Isaiah 6:8, Lord, the Lord said, whom shall I send, or who shall go for us? Then said I, this is Isaiah, here am I, send me. You know, that was a personal decision. A personal goal, personal decision. Isaiah said, hey, here I am. Count me in. But you know what? It's a pathetic development because he's the only one that said anything. Nobody else spoke up, just Isaiah. Who wants to go soul winning tonight? Be one or two. Who wants to hand out some tracts on their job? Be one or two. Who wants to go out and invite folks? Hey, who wants to make some calls and invite folks to church? Be one or two. What's happening? The rest of the church is asleep. May not be physical asleep, but spiritual asleep, doing what you want to do. That's right. So we see the setting of the account. We see the similarities of the account. You remember over in Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 wise and 5 foolish. They were all clean. They were all pure as far as that goes, not spiritually speaking, but 5 had oil in their lamps and 5 did not. Bible said the midnight cry came, the bridegroom's coming. And the Bible said they all slumbered and slept. Even the ones with oil in their lamp. And the 5 foolish didn't have oil in their lamp. Oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit in their lamp, possessed the Spirit of God. Hey, the 5 that didn't said, give us your oil. They said, we can't give you our oil. Go get your own. While they was gone, the bridegroom came and shut the door. Hey, they all slumbered and slept. And in an hour, you think not. Midnight cry. He came. Well, what's the big deal, preacher? The 5 that had the oil in the lamp said, y'all better go get some oil. It can happen any moment. The bridegroom could come. What's wrong with you? You left. But you know what they were doing? The same thing the foolish ones were doing. Slumbering. That means they was dozing off. Just haphazardly and asleep. They were doing the same things the unsaved were doing. That's a picture. What's the church as a whole doing now? The same things the unsaved are doing. Huh? Who you going? Hey, Christians, who you think you going to win shacking up? Who you think you're going to win going to the bar and drinking? Come on now. Who you going to win? Who you going to win sitting around at the job running down your preacher and church people? Huh? What you think you're going to accomplish? Nothing. And folks, Ezekiel 33, the story of the watchman. Is it 33 or 38? But anyway, it's in Ezekiel, I think. But the job of the watchman was to sound the trumpet and warn the people when the enemy come. And if he didn't, and the enemy come and devoured the people, their blood would be required to the watchman's hand. However, if the watchman sound the trumpet and warned the people, they didn't heed the warning and came and got devoured, their blood wouldn't be required at their hand. Hey, how much blood is going to be required at the church's hand? How much blood is going to be required at the church's hand? Whew, that's the introduction. But the Christ is sorrowful and the church is asleep. Why should the church wake up? Here's 3 very profound things. Number 1, you ready to write this down? I'm talking about, folks, it's going to be so deep, you're going to have to go home and get you a strong concordance. And you're going to have to call another preacher. You're going to have to get some help. Number 1, verse 38 and 41, why should the church wake up? Because Christ is commanding it. That's deep, ain't it? Verse 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul exceeding sorrowful, even unto death, tarry ye here and watch with me. Verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but flesh is weak. Hey, the Lord said, I want you to stay awake. I want you to stay awake. I want you to stay alert. I want you to be sober, be vigilant. Hey, because our adversary, the devil, is roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to wake up. We got a commandment from God to wake up. We have a commandment from God. Hey, let me tell you something. We get on Facebook and act spiritual and never tell nobody about Christ. That's not impressing the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Huh? That's right. Hey, we run to other Christians and have our gossip session. That ain't helping the church or the Lord at all. These pharisaical mindsets, well, look how I dress, but look how you act. Hello?
Right.
I'm for dressing right, but I'm also for acting right.
Amen.
Amen. The Pharisees had the outside of the cup clean and thought they were spiritual, but the inside was dirty, vile, full of dead man's bones. Church, we got to wake up. Christ is commanding it. Number two, carnality is courageous. The spirit, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Carnality is contagious. It's courageous. It's running wild. There's three or four things here that's the problem. The pulpit has lost its flame. Preachers are to blame, and the people should be ashamed. Now, a poet didn't know it. Preachers are to blame. They've become cowards and compromisers with no conviction. The people should be ashamed because they're doing that because they know that's what the people want and they're not going to heed to the truth, so they don't want to be thrown out. Everybody all right with that? Everybody all right with that? Congregation shouldn't accept no less than a man to preach it right. Man, that'll sugarcoat it. And hey, I don't want a preacher to sugarcoat my sin. That's why I go to church.
Right.
Amen. I want him to preach to me. It's been told to me before, I'm tired of going to church feeling worse or when I leave. Well, if you'd get right with God, you'd feel better when you left.
Amen.
I've always found out that always works for me. Oh, I left church, I feel worse. I understand we need exhorting. The Bible said to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. But two-thirds of a man's preaching is negative, according to Scripture. Reprove, rebuke, then exhort. Well, hey, when we preach the negative, twice as much, but then before we leave, we ought to exhort them, hey, you can get that right. God will help you with that.
Amen.
And that encourages me. Hey, I know, preacher, you're right. Man, I'm ashamed of myself. I'm embarrassed at my life. Man, God's touched me. The Spirit of God's convicted me. Preacher, you're right. You're right. Get on the altar. That preacher's worth his salt. He says, you got to stay that way. Folks, when God forgives a person, when God cleanses, I know there's some things that they have to grow back into. But folks, we understand they're forgiven at that very moment.
Amen.
We don't keep a death sentence over their head. Again, there may be a time of counseling and a time of proving. I understand that. But they're not on trial.
Right.
Stop putting people against right with God on trial. Who do you think you are?
Amen.
Quit bringing it. When it's under the blood, quit bringing it back up.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
When it's biblically gotten right. I ain't talking about just somebody coming down here popping bubble gum and just crocodile tears because they got caught in sin. That's the only reason they feel bad. I'm talking about people who's really sorry for it. You understand the difference?
Yes, sir.
Sorry they did it, not just sorry they got caught in it. And when they come with a contrite spirit, and they come with a broken heart, and they come in true repentance to get right with God, hey, that's settled it. Again, I understand there may be some times of growing. You know what I preached last week in Revelation about church? Hey, go back to the first works. That's what he said, didn't he?
Right.
Go back and do the first works. Are you listening to me? But as far as that sin, it's gone. Carnality is courageous. The pulpits have lost its flame. The priests are to blame. Cowards compromise. Hey, it's sad we live in a time where Baptist churches do not want to hear their pastor preach on anything like that. They come to get their ears tickled. That's a last day development. They're seeking teachers having itching ears. They want to be told everything's all right. Like Paisley just said, tickle me, Papa. Tickle me, Papa. You know what I mean? It's fun, you know. It's fun. Folks, I need my hide preached to. I still believe in calling sin by its first name. Amen. Adultery is sin. Fornication is sin. Drunkenness is sin. Prayerlessness is sin. Jealousy is sin. Come on now. There's outward and there's inward sin. Amen. Don't think you're super spiritual because you've never committed adultery and in your heart you're full of jealousy. Envy and strife in your heart. That's sin. Division in the church. That's sin. Not loving the brethren. That's sin. Preach on that stuff. A man married to man is sin.
Amen.
Woman married to woman is sin.
Amen.
There's only two genders.
Amen.
Man and woman.
Amen.
Amen. And anything besides that is sin. It's perversion. It's wicked.
Right.
Now that don't mean I hate them. I hate that lifestyle because it's from the pits of hell, but I love their soul. Christ died for their soul.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Years ago when they had the gay marches in Spartanburg, and I'm trying to help you folks. I know I'm going on. I know they may shut me down on everything. That's all right. I was preaching before Facebook ever was invented. I was preaching before the internet was ever invented.
Right.
And I'll keep preaching if I go off of that. I was preaching before I ever got on the radio, before we ever live streamed. Okay, I'm just telling you, I'm all right if I get thrown off. Are y'all all right if I get thrown off? And all we did, all churches like this, like faith did, we went and had signs that had the gospel on it. Never spoke, never said nothing, never agged nothing on, never provoked anything. All the ones that was hostile was them. Brother Todd Cooper was trying to give one a track. He went over handing out dope. If you thought anything else, you need to get right with God. Y'all, after this surgery, I'll probably do better. Try to hand him out a track, gospel track. I'd do better than that. I'd have pulled out a gospel track. All he said was, can I give you this? They were hostile. What was happening? Light was around them. But I got a call that evening here. It was a message from a block number. Nobody gave their name. You know, that's very, you know. And I get letters. If they don't sign their name, put their address, I don't read them. You ain't got the guts to sign your name, I don't read it. Don't send me a letter and say, I'm going to tell him off and not sign my name. I ain't reading it. If you feel I need a letter of rebuke, sign your name. But anyway, I got to stop. I got a call. There's a lady on the other end. And one of her children was that way. And boy, she raked me over the coals because we did that. And he said, how are they going to ever accept Christ if we don't love them? I'm thinking, ma'am, we was over there because we did love them. You're not saying nothing and doing nothing. It's showing you don't love them. We weren't there. Hey, we weren't there to condemn them. They're already condemned. Everybody unsaved is condemned already because they hadn't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We weren't there condemning nobody. Every sinner that don't know Christ, the book of John chapter 3 says they're condemned already. They're under condemnation already because they've not received Christ. We weren't there in condemnation. We was there in love to give them the gospel to see them saved. And that's where we are today. Don't you say nothing about my baby's sin. Don't you preach against it. Don't you do that. Well, it ain't what you says, how you said. I've heard all that stuff. And I understand sometimes how you said is bad. I agree with that. I have preached in the flesh before. God knows it, and I've repented. But I ain't in the flesh tonight. I got a burden. I know I may be preaching like it, but I've got a burden in my heart. I'm passionate about this. Folks, we're in the last days. Stop being silly, church. Stop being silly and get spiritual. Quit wearing your feelings on your shoulder. There's a way. We're in a warfare. We ain't got time to pet babies while we're fighting. Paul said, I fought a good fight. He didn't have time to go by and pet people. He had to fight. That's where we are. We got to fight. We got to stay in the fight. Well, they hurt my feelings. Build you a bridge and get over it. Get back in the battle. Come on. People dying and going to hell in the churches. We're playing tiddlywinks. We're in popularity contest. I'm going to have it my way. I'm going to bust the whole thing up kind of thing. We ain't got time for that stuff. Not a bit of it. Carnality is courageous. Hey, the crowd's coming. Verse 46. I'm finishing. Verse 46. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Folks, we know ultimately what's happening in this text, figuratively. The multitudes were coming to shut up the gospel. To stamp out the name of Jesus. That's why they were coming. Are you with me? Are you with me? To stamp out the name of Jesus. That's what they were coming to do. To kill him. To get him out of the way. To shut that stuff up about getting saved and trusting Christ. We're shutting it down. That's what's happening today. How do you know? Try to go to a public forum and pray in Jesus' name. They hate that name. They hate that name. And a man one time showed me a prayer he read at one of his meetings of a lodge. And he said, see, it ain't bad. I say these prayers. I said, do you end it in Jesus' name? No. I just say that. I said, that ain't praying. They won't let me do that. That's right. They don't want to hear his name. Oh, preacher, I'm mad at you now. Folks, get in line. I'm telling you, folks, it's a time. I'm passionate because God gave me a special light or something on what happened yesterday. And it wasn't just because it was Donald Trump. God forbid, that ain't why. And I hate it. But, folks, we're in dark, dark days. And God has left the church here to make a difference. To be lights in this world. Help us. Help me. Man, I'm tired of playing around. Folks, it's so easy. Miss Lisa, if you come to the piano, I'll quit. It's so easy to get complacent. I'm speaking from experience. Everything's running smooth. Everything's going well. It's easy to let up. And another thing, it's easy to let up when things are going bad. It's required among stewards that a man be found faithful. Where's our faithfulness? Let's get back faithful, church. Let's get back serious. Let's get back spiritual. God help me and you. Let's all stand. Church, thank you for your